Welcome to Photo Vision Focus Discussing Photography. Hi, I'm Steve Finkel. On this episode of Focus, I'm flying solo. On this episode of Focus, I wanted to, I suppose, pose a question that and be interesting to see how the listeners, what they would do in that situation. So the question basically is, if you were given unlimited access to a famous landmark in your city or a famous place in your city, so you were basically given a pass to be able to go in there and photograph it from anywhere you like, access all areas, wherever you want to go, you can take your camera and you can document it with your camera. Where would you pick? What would you do in your city? Is there a spot that you've always really yearned to get into? You say, oh, how cool would it be to get in there and see behind the scenes there and be able to photograph what happens in there inside that building or in that place or wherever it is. So I just thought it's an interesting question. And for everybody, like I said, in your local area that you live in, there's probably somewhere that's probably had a bit of a kind of a, I suppose, mystique about it, something that you'd like to learn a bit more about. Yeah, so I thought, let's pose a podcast and put the question around it. So, and I thought to kind of share a story where I've had a couple of unique experiences in Brisbane, in my home city, and I've been able to do two things on a very iconic structure in Brisbane, and that is the Story Bridge. And Story Bridge is a bridge that spans the Brisbane River. Story Bridge was finished in 1940. It took a little bit over 5 years to build the Story Bridge. It's interesting, people might wonder why it's called the Story Bridge. It's actually named after a public servant who worked in the public service for about 53 years, so he's a very long serving member of the public service. And John Douglas Story was that person. So they, I suppose, honoured him by naming the bridge after him. So that's how the Story Bridge actually got its name. And the Story Bridge, like I said, it's an interesting structure. It's actually the longest cantilever bridge in Australia. So it has, from the bottom of the bridge to the river, it's about 30 metres. To the highest point, it's about 74 metres. So I've actually been able to take my camera to that highest point on the bridge and be able to photograph Brisbane from that very unique platform. And I've had basically two experiences on the Story Bridge. Now, for people who know Brisbane or visited Brisbane, you can do a Story Bridge climb. That's a climb where they take you up on the bridge. You're all tethered together and they let you climb up and have a look at the city and then you climb back down again. In those situations, before you can actually climb on the bridge, you have to actually empty the contents of your pockets. So you can't have anything on your person to go up on the bridge because the danger of, you can imagine being up at 74 metres, there's a roadway below. So you even imagine dropping a mobile phone. If it hit a car windscreen, it would probably go clean through the windscreen and potentially injure somebody. So safety is a paramount thing. So when I had the opportunity to be able to take a camera up on the bridge, that was, you know, I jumped at that chance because it was such a unique opportunity. But I'll talk about my very first experience on the Story Bridge. As a part of my other business outside of photography, I actually have a security business and we actually do a lot of CCTV. At the time, and this is just prior to the Story Bridge climb getting started, that some of the safety concerns were that if you got people up on the bridge, what would happen if people got detached or started wandering off and doing their own thing up on the bridge? So they wanted to see if there was a way to put CCTV cameras up on the bridge at various different locations. And because the bridge climb goes through different times of the day and there is an evening climb, is that the cameras had to perform under fairly low light situations. The bridge is covered in a lot of like neon type lights, which is not the greatest light for doing CCTV surveillance. So they wanted to see what cameras would perform and how they would perform. And at the time, being a dealer for one particular brand of camera who had a reputation of being one of the best low light CCTV cameras on the market. Being, like I said, I was actually a distributor of that product. So with the people who were responsible for organising the bridge climb, we organised one afternoon to take up some cameras and some equipment up onto the bridge to set it up, so we could actually get some footage so they could evaluate it and see if it would actually do what they wanted it to do. So that was a really unique experience. So on that particular experience, because we had so much gear to take up, I couldn't take a camera up with me, a normal camera, but I had like, you know, CCTV cameras, but we weren't recording them. They wanted to see what the live pictures would look like. But that was an interesting experience because that was well before the bridge climb had started. And there's an access panel inside one of the girders that you're just driving past on the bridge. You would just never realize it's actually there. But we got this, they opened this up for us and we got inside and we had harnesses on with like climbing rig on it. And we would clip onto a cable inside that girder. And the girder was a steel structure. Anyone who's seen the Story Bridge, you'll see all the cross braces. So we're actually inside one of those main girder sections. We're basically climbing, using our feet and our hands, we're climbing up those steel cross pieces. And like I said, you've got a safety tether on. So like if you let go, it's just going to, you're going to hang on the cable. But we had all the stuff kind of packed up to take up. And we got up there and we got to the top of the bridge and we did that set up and test, and the people there that needed to see it were there, and that was great and all good. When I was up there, and at this stage, like very few people actually got the opportunity to actually go to the top of the bridge. It wasn't a thing where you just went up there and did a, you know, Story Bridge walk like you can today. So I was really excited when, you know, to have that opportunity. But being a, you know, photographer, I just really yearned. I thought, how fantastic would it be to bring a camera up here? Then a few years later, the Story Bridge climb was actually well established and underway. And like I said, people were going up in the hundreds, you know, climbing the bridge, getting that experience. But people weren't allowed to take cameras because of the safety concerns. Then for a collaboration with Canon Australia, they organised a special climb. There was a couple of climbs they actually did where we could actually take up a camera on the bridge. So there was a lot of safety, a lot of things had to be checked off. So we were allowed to take up one camera, one lens, be able to spend some time on the bridge photographing it from this very unique platform that we have in Brisbane. So basically some of the safety things that had to happen was that there could not be the possibility of anything falling off the bridge. So everything had to be double tethered. So basically, we couldn't have a lens hood on. The lens hood had to come off because that could come off. And even like a lens hood, even though it's not going to do a lot of damage, but if someone's seen that falling, a motorist might swerve and to avoid it and hit another car. So you couldn't take any other things. So we could take one camera, one body. Cameras were double tethered to us. So they were connected to us by two completely separate ways. And the camera lens was actually connected by tethers back to the camera body by two tethers as well. So even if you disconnected the lens would just hang on the tether and couldn't go anywhere. So it was kind of a lot of safety and a lot of planning just to get all that, I suppose, all that engineering to strap all that stuff together to make sure it was safe and it was not going to fall down. So back in the day, I suppose one of the most sought-after cameras of the day was it'd only just been released too when this happened. So it was the 5D Mark IV. So my camera that I took up a 5D Mark IV, and because I only could take up one lens and I knew we were going to shooting into the night, so I wanted something, you know, wide and fast. So paired that up with a EF 24-70 2.8 lens. So that was the combo that I had up on the bridge. We went up on the bridge late in the afternoon so we could be up there for sunset. You know, like I said, we were able to take various different pictures from all different angles, and I shot video on that camera up there as well. But we had a very unique, like I said, experience, and there was a number of us went up there, and people were broken into two groups and went to different parts of the bridge to get. So not everyone was kind of taking the same type of photos. We were trying to get a variety of different shots. And like I said, it was such a unique experience to be up there and be able to photograph from something which is so iconic in Brisbane. Like everybody knows the Story Bridge. If you live in Brisbane, it's just it's our Sydney Harbour Bridge, so to speak. Everyone kind of knows it. People who come to Brisbane, if they're in the city, they're probably going to see it at some point. And it's like I said, it's always used as a backdrop when we have big fireworks displays and different things like that. The bridge is quite often has fireworks and stuff streaming off it and that type of stuff. So it's a very iconic structure in Brisbane. Like I said, I was quite lucky to be able to get that opportunity of take a camera up there and shoot that. And it's never happened since, like, to my knowledge, that subsequent attempts to do this hasn't worked. I believe that the people who operate the climb had changed hands of those different people. So the new people were too concerned about insurance issues and that type of thing. So, but I'm ever grateful for Canon for making that opportunity available for myself and other photographers to be able to go up there and, you know, shoot one of these iconic structures on this very unique, in this very unique way. Because like I said, you can't even take up your iPhone if you went and paid for a bridge climb now. You can't take anything up there with you whatsoever. They actually run a metal detector over you just to make sure you're not hiding anything in your pockets, because, again, the liability of someone dropping a phone off the bridge and hitting a car is just so high. So like I said, pose the question at the start of the podcast about, so where in your locality, where would you like to go and get that kind of unlimited access, that unique experience, be able to photograph something in a way that hasn't previously been done? So it's like I said, it just give people a unique, and like I said, when people see those pictures off the Story Bridge, like, it's because they've never, the great thing about it was there's just not many pictures like them available, because, you know, unlike if you go to a general public viewing area on a bridge or structure, if you get on the internet, there's thousands and thousands of photos from that location, because people are just getting up there and they're posting on socials and that type of stuff. So the world's awash with those images. So to be get images from a iconic location that virtually very few people have had the opportunity of doing. And again, it's like I said, that's, I think, always for photographers, to be able to get something unique, something that someone else hasn't captured, is what a lot of photographers strive for. That's, I know for me, myself personally, I love the idea of when I get an opportunity to shoot something completely different that someone else hasn't had access to. I just think it's just such a cool thing to be able to, like I said, be able to capture those images and just have something fairly unique. And like I said, so the whole experience was fantastic. So where would you go? What place would you want to shoot? And maybe you might live in Brisbane. Would that something you'd like to do? Get up on the Story Bridge with a camera, or maybe you've got a big bridge in your area where you are and you'd like to get up there and photograph from that platform to just be able to see your city from a completely different angle. So that's, like I said, be interesting. Anyone wants to drop a comment in the on the socials for the podcast about where they'd love to go with their camera and have access all areas and be able to go in and just basically go anywhere you like within the within that area. And it could be, like I said, it doesn't have to be a man-made structure. It could be something like a natural wonder where, and then what's happened, unfortunately, a lot of areas now were, you know, once upon a time, everything was kind of open slaver. People could just go into some of the wilderness areas and they could just go in and basically tramp around and do whatever and hike through areas. And unfortunately, that some of those areas got so much love that people going in there causing so much damage that the authorities had to basically close those areas. So they're now restricted where people can go. So that's sad that it happens, but which does then take away opportunities sometimes for people to be able to get unique photos, because quite often now the only place most people can go with their camera is those designated areas where, like I said, everyone has their camera and everyone's shooting. That's what you see about that. You know, when you look up a post from that area, that's all you're seeing, is you're just basically seeing more of the same type of thing. So, and I think, look, as photographers, we do like to have and create unique stuff that people haven't seen before, because for me, that's, like I said, that's always the challenge, is trying to capture something in a way that someone hasn't seen before, or you know, it's a fresh new photo. It's not something that's been done a thousands and thousands of times. So yeah, so this episode talking about, you get that free pass to go wherever you like. So hopefully that's, there's somewhere that you'd really like to go. And I thought I'd share another kind of unique experience that I had, and this one's not as hard to do because this one is much more manageable, and that's hot air ballooning. And again, that opportunity came about through my connections with Canon Australia. There was a festival running in Byron Bay that Canon were involved with, and basically they'd organised some very early morning hot air balloon flights for photographers. That was, again, such a unique experience to be able to take up a camera. And I had my 5D Mark IV, and I'd also borrowed from Canon a 5SR, which is the 50 megapixel camera. And I had those two cameras up there, and I had a couple of different lenses. And again, I found that the lens I used quite a lot was the 100 to 400 EF lens. And I also had a wide lens on there as well. Probably had a 24 to 70 or something of that nature. But I tended to shoot more with the telephoto lens because I was isolating pieces of landscape out, like tops of ridges of hills and that type of stuff. And we were lucky because we went up quite early, just so we'd be up there for sunrise. So it was a very early start that morning. And we had to, because of wind and a whole range of different things at the location we were launching from, it did change. Like they watch the weather fairly heavily because hot air balloons, you know, they're not like a plane where they can got rudders and they can steer them that much. They do have some control, but they have, you know, the wind is going to ultimately dictate how they travel. So, but anyway, we got in the air before sunrise, and again, it's just fascinating to be such a cool shooting platform because it's just so smooth and so quiet. And the thing that when you're just drifting up there, the thing that I was expecting, I thought it was going to be like a howling wind and it was going to be noisy. Perfect. It's really quiet and peaceful, and you can just have a conversation with the person beside you and no problem whatsoever. When the burner's burning and they're lifting, that makes a bit of noise. But like I said, when we're just kind of drifting around just on the air currents, again, it's very peaceful. But again, some of the photos that, you know, you take from there are so unique because it's such a unique look at the countryside, and you get to see a whole range of stuff, whereas down at ground level, you just can't see the detail. And even like we're going over creeks and waterfalls and different things, just to be able to see them from bird's eye view. I mean, these days, back then drones were available. That was quite a few years back. I think that was back in about 2014. It was about 10 years ago. Drones were around, but they weren't around to the level of drones are around now. But so people just didn't get to see those types of photographs, those shoot down type photographs, where we do see so many of them today because of drone technology. People can basically, you know, buy a cheap drone and fly it over a waterfall and get those types of shots. But 10 years ago, it was something, again, a little bit unique. So I was quite blessed to be able to up there and get those images, which, you know, and one of those images end up converting it to black and white because it just worked. It was a kind of very, very misty, foggy morning. So there was lots of fog and mist. There was a hill which was I suppose it was a spur of a little mountain range with trees on the top, and they were kind of partly in fog and cloud, a bit of light starting to shine through the clouds. And I shot a couple of pictures of that ridge, and I just really liked the look of it. It was just, like I said, that being up above it, so high above it, shooting down onto it, gave it, like I said, you couldn't get that look from even a lookout down below. You just wouldn't get it. That particular picture, I entered it into an international photographic awards, and it actually took out the landscape division, which I was absolutely chuffed that to win that. So that was quite a surprise that image was picked over a whole range of incredible images. But again, I think it was because it was such a unique view of a scene that people just made it different. I suppose the judges were looking for something different. And the fact that it was shot from a hot air balloon, but no, those details weren't actually given. Like with the, when I entered it, you know, there was no requirement to submit where it was captured other than just the gear that it was captured with. Again, it was shot on the 50 megapixel body of Canon, the 5SR. And again, like I said, so it was perfect camera for that particular scene because I got this incredible landscape picture from it. So, but again, unique experiences. I mean, not everyone has obviously the opportunity to get into these places, but things like the hot air balloon is something that is pretty much available to anyone, able-bodied. can take a hot air balloon flight. And if you haven't done one and you want to kind of look at some type of unique photography experience, it's something definitely worth checking out, that most areas have some type of hot air balloon rides available. Again, pick your timing. You know, if it's you can get up on an early morning flight where you're up there for the sunrise, that's going to give you a lot of opportunities to be able to shoot, you know, into the sunrise, but also how the sunrise is, those early morning rays, how they're affecting the things like the trees and the landscape. And like I said, some really cool shadows. You know, we flew over various different farms. So there was like macadamia farms and different types of farms. And the rows and rows of trees, and with that early morning light, you know, casting this particular shadow. And because you're capturing it from such a unique angle, it was really cool. And the fact that there was, the other thing too, there was two other balloons up with us, so three balloons went up. So it was actually cool to get some shots of the other balloons drifting around, and particularly, you know, being able to see up against the landscape. Again, it just makes for some very unique photography. So again, and that's what I said, that's what I kind of strive for, is try and sometimes find those unique opportunities. You know, if you had that opportunity, think about where you might do. And look, who knows, if you have really a good idea to go and shoot something, maybe there's a possibility that you can talk to the powers to be to see if there's a way of actually making that dream come true, which all these things that eventually that people get to shoot into, it starts with an idea, and then quite often they've had to negotiate and navigate through a pathway of authorities and different checks and balances to be able to get into those locations. But people do it. So have an idea, don't dismiss it. Give it a shot, see if you can actually get it to reality, so you can actually go and shoot some amazing space that you've admired all your life. Also, I thought in an upcoming episode, I'd like to do a Q&A type podcast where I ask listeners to send in questions about things, various different things. It might be questions about some of the stuff I shoot or some of the stuff I've done, or it could be just about photography in general. So if you want to start sending off questions to our social media platforms, or if you want to email it, I'll put my email into the show notes, so you can jump on the show notes and have a look. And you can just email for any kind of suggestions that you have for questions and those types of things. And I'd love to, you know, put together at some point in the future, once we've kind of collected enough, we'll pick our favourites, and then we'll be able to put together a podcast based on what the listeners are asking as well. So yeah. So I hope this is, like I said, got you thinking about maybe looking out for some unique place to shoot in your local area. But again, always have fun with photography. Until we talk again, this has been Steve Finkel for Photo Mission Focus, discussing photography. We'll talk again real soon. See ya.